You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 11th of November. Happy Veterans Day. We'll talk about the Jazz win over the Bucks. We'll break down how great Bojan Bogdanović is, because Bojan Bogdanović just makes the world a better place right now. We'll talk about the final plays, the big win. We'll look at the Jazz offense and what needs to be fixed, and we'll kind of run around the league. We're 10% through, and there's some interesting things taking place for those of you who've listened to the show a bunch. That's what's coming up. It's Locked On Jazz. Greetings from San Francisco, California, where the Utah Jazz will play in the Chase Center for the very first time on a Warriors team that looks very, very different. This is a big stretch of the season. Oh, by the way, I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making it more fun to be a Jazz fan. Hope you all had a great weekend. I do want to take a second. Over the weekend, I actually got to meet a collection of people that listen to this podcast much more than I ever realized, who have some invested interest in the team. And I wanted to just give a shout out of a hello to that group. They'll know who they are. Had a wonderful time getting to know everyone and spending time with them this weekend. So I wanted to throw that out there. That was our last weekend off until All-Star break. And then last one after that. And then who knows? It was funny. Last night I was at dinner with all of my high school friends. This is where I grew up. And I'm really the group of people I'm closest to in the world are my high school group. And they are so wonderful that they come together on my behalf, I guess, when I'm in town, or I'm the impetus at least. So we have a wonderful time. And we're all turning 50. Ah! And so we were talking about scheduling a party of some sort, a 50th birthday. And someone was like, what about like June 1? And I just had this great little part of me that was like, yeah, I think I'm free June 1, but I'm not totally certain I'm free June 1. I mean, I don't think we're going to go to June 1, but maybe we're going to go to June 1. And I just had this great little smirk inside that was like, yeah, Quinn figures out this offense and maybe we're going till June 1. Anyway, I mean, all year long, I said if our defense is top in the league, we're going to be great. And our defense is great. I mean, that is really the true takeaway that's taking place here, is that the defense now 10% through the season is still great. And that's a really big deal. And we have not played bad offensive teams. That would be part two. That's a really big deal. If you look at the best offenses in the league right now, and who they are and what they're doing. And we look here, the number one offense in the league is Dallas and Brooklyn and Toronto. We haven't played, but Phoenix is 4. We've played them. Milwaukee's 5. We've played them. Clippers is 8. We've played them twice. Once without Kawhi, so in fairness, but once with Kawhi, and we had a decent game against him. You know, we'll play the 15th tonight. Philadelphia is interesting. They're the only 16th offense in the league. So we have not, you know, Lakers are interesting because they're 20th. Oklahoma City's 21st. So we have gotten through some of this by not playing all of the elite. Sacramento's kind of a middle-of-the-pack, middling offense at 20th. We haven't played any of those top things, but when it's 10% of the season, we are probably dictating that many of those teams are not. The fact that Phoenix is still the fourth best offense in the league is interesting. Phoenix has a differential of 8.5, which is the second best in the NBA. I was going to talk about that later in the show. I'm just kind of stunned by it, frankly, and tells you that win we got in Phoenix, which we all called ugly and, you know, you like it and, you know, not everything's a Picasso. Like, maybe that was a Picasso. That was a pretty good win. But the beating Philadelphia and Milwaukee at home was great. And the first half the other night was at least felt as though that was this team clicking in and being the team we kind of expected. You go up 20 on a team that won 60 games last year, and you've got to feel pretty good about yourself. The offense is still not entirely where we want it to be. We talked about it's always been a little bit slow developing. That was not a great offensive game. But the last two games have been the second and third best, or excuse me, third and sixth best offensive games of the year. So we're trending right. The Lakers game and the Phoenix games were two of our worst offensive ratings of the season. Our Clippers game, actually, that we lost in L.A. wasn't particularly good. And so we're still trying, I think, to middle around a little bit and figure out what we're going to do offensively. And we'll dig into that a little bit more later in the show. But I want to go back to the Bucks win for so many reasons. Obviously, the final two plays are what really good teams do. And some neat storylines to it. Rudy Gobert recognizes and sees the play, somehow knows in the post-game interviews that Milwaukee runs that play a lot. Like, wow. That's either film study by the Jazz as a coaching staff. That's remarkable by Rudy. That maybe it's a common play in the league, frankly. I'm not entirely sure. But to me, that was really a big comment from Rudy, in the sense that how is he recognizing that and pops out and forces Chris Middleton to travel. I talked to Amin El-Hassan of ESPN after the game for a long time. His point was like, Middleton at that point could have done anything else. So if Middleton just throws the ball over Rudy into the air, game's over, or game's going to overtime. Middleton lets the shot get blocked, we're probably going to overtime. The one thing Middleton could not do at that moment was do exactly what he did. And Ron Boone made a great point on our broadcast that the pass was on the wrong shoulder, whereas Joe's was on the correct side. And so, therefore, when Middleton turned, he couldn't see Rudy. And so, really, this is probably unfair as a piece of criticism to Chris Middleton. But to me, it's the Jazz defense, Rudy Gobert namely, making a play that forces an individual into a mistake because of its greatness. The second aspect is the Jazz final play and the storyline that goes behind that, where the players so Quinn goes through at shootaround, and on some night days, not all days, will run, hey, if we're tied tonight late, this is what we're running. And he'll diagram a play, and it worked. It actually had Boyan getting a three at the top of the circle. And if you listen to our radio broadcast, we actually said this is the play I would expect to see. And when Boyan and Mike Conley get to the bench, they re-diagram the play. They talk amongst themselves and say, hey, da-da-da. And Mike Conley kind of openly says, Boyan, you know, I'll clear out more so you can get it. And here are two guys that are just figuring out this team. Mike Conley particularly probably having a bigger issue with that, obviously just feeling comfortable. And they are working, understanding Quinn, knowing kind of what Quinn's goals are. And Quinn made a comment about 2 weeks ago about the progress of getting a team through the season. And basically his comment, and I'm not at the same intellectual level as Quinn, so I'm going to butcher this a little bit. But the comment was, unless they know the purposes, unless they know why we're trying to do what we're doing and understand the principles at the core of it, then there's no way for them to fully embrace it. And it takes time to understand that, you know, Quinn's not just saying, hey, by the way, we're going to run a pick and roll, run it two steps to the right. He's like, okay, we're in the slot because this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And so that's why we're running it here, and these are your options, and you read and play. That takes some time to understand. Same concept has to have happened on that out-of-bounds play, that these guys now have spent enough time with him, he's run them through enough stuff, that they're able to say, okay, here's what he's trying to do. This is what he's created. If we make this adjustment here, and then this kind of goes to the second principle that is Quinn Snyder, and as Quinn Snyder has always said, the players are the geniuses. If you just pay attention to what they're doing, you'll learn. And this is a great example of him doing that. So those final two plays the other night against the Bucks, pretty darn outstanding, because you have the elite level of Rudy making the play. You also have Joe executing the pass to Boyan on the correct shoulder and Boyan making the play. And I could make a quick claim that I think Boyan Bogdanovic is Quinn Snyder's perfect player. He's 6'8". He's crazy strong. He's remarkably agile. He can play with the ball in his hands and be a shooter. While he is a straight line driver, he is not a straight line player in the air, which is really interesting about him, is that he's able to get away from people in the air. Most people, I don't think, are able to do that. He's aggressively attacking the rim. And on plays like last on that, he's 6'8". Think about the margin on that play. One of my buddies actually pointed this out to me, so give him credit. How close Chris Middleton, after being beat brutally on that play, was to blocking that shot. And that happens because Boyan is 6'8". And so Boyan gets that shot off. Boyan is in dreamland right now, I think. And I think he has got to be just ecstatic about the way he's being used, the decision he made in the offseason, and the head coach that he has using him in a manner that just hasn't existed. Boyan was great in the second. I mean, his career just keeps evolving. But right now, Boyan is taking two more threes a game than he's taken. He's taking two more shots a game than he's taken. He is grabbing more rebounds than he's ever had. He's got an assist. He's right on his career high assists, and he's actually playing an extra minute. At 30 years old, he has found the head coach that is maximizing everything about him, and he is peaking out at 22 points a game, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He is shooting 49% from the field, 46% from 3. Now, that seems unsustainable, I would agree, except for post-All-Star break last year, 21 points, 50% from the field, 42% from 3, and 77% from the free throw line. So the only thing that's not sustainable might be that free throws. And you start to link, you know, his game log from the day Victor Oladipo got hurt to today, and you now, you know, you're up to 40, 50 games of this. So I think there might be, you know, he is really at an elite level right now. Like, let's not underestimate how good he has been and how good he is. But he is playing at a level right now where for the last 52 games, or maybe he missed a game this year, so 51 games, he is basically pretty close to a 50% field goal percentage, 40% three-point shooter. He's not at 50, 40, 90 because of last year's free throw shooting. He's averaged about 21 points a game in that time period, probably 20.5. He's averaging 4 rebounds and 2 assists a game. Like, the rebounding obviously is a big issue for us. That is big time, and he has got the coach that is completely maximizing who he is and where and what he's doing. Today's show is brought to you in part by Homie. Homie is revolutionizing the real estate world and changing the commission structure of how it works. It's always been that when you go buy a house or sell a house, you're suddenly giving away basically 3%. Why? No reason. Just because it's always been that way. Well, there is no reason for always been that way. And in fact, Homie now can also help you buy any home. When you buy a home, it's not free. The money you pay for your home is used to pay the seller, their agent, and whatever agent you choose to hire. It's your money that pays both agents. And Homie is returning $5,000 to you. It's simple. Get started with Homie by going to homie.com or text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's 88588, and you get an experienced local Homie agent who will help you every step of the way. Every step of the way, finding your dream home, touring homes, making offers, negotiating the best deal. Work with you to get $5,000 back at the end. Make sure you find out more by texting LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's 88588. And remember, you can buy with Homie and save thousands because Homie's got your back. Hollinger and Duncan is out for the day and for the week. The weekly episode of Hollinger and Duncan on the Locked On Podcast Network is out and available. Make sure you go grab that when you get a chance. I had a great time listening to various shows. I love the Monday Locked On NBA. They bounced around to Toronto and Boston and L.A. to check in on the various teams. I think I love that. Love that Locked On NBA every Monday. All right, offensively, we're still not very good. Despite the fact that Mike Conley's beginning to click in, Mike Conley's last 5 games are pretty encouraging, making you believe that, you know, his October swoon that he has had. You know, for the last 3 Octobers, Mike shoots 38% from the field and 28% from 3, And maybe that October swoon is what's underway, because Mike Conley, last five games, 18 points a game, 44% from the field, 45% from three. So we're seeing some signs. There are some signs offensively that 10% of the way through the season, I'll admit, are a little disconcerting. So let me run through those. When you look at an offensive team, there are four factors that go into what constructs your offense. Your shooting, the amount you turn it over, the amount you go to the free throw line, and the amount you offensive rebound to gain extra possessions. So we're in the bottom 20% in two of the four categories. That is problematic, because it's just going to be very, very hard to be a good offensive team if that's the case. And to the point of that is, we're the 11th best shooting team in the league right now, and we have the 5th best rate of going to the line. So we're doing those things about as well as you can expect. Now, the reason we're only 11th shooting is because our shot distribution's all whacked out in weird ways, and I'll touch on that in a second. But we're the 25th ranked team in the league at taking care of the ball. So we've probably and we're 27th in the league in offensive rebound. Now, I have preached for a long time, much to the mocking of people who don't understand, that turnovers don't really matter. And what that really is that there is no correlation between being a low turnover rate team or a high turnover rate team and good offense or winning. And there's not even a correlation between what everyone says there is, that if you're a high turnover team, it ruins your defense. Those things are actually not true. There has not shown that. So, yeah, I understand the argument that if you turn the ball over, you're not getting a shot. But I also think that a lot of teams who turn the ball over a lot, i.e. the old Golden State Warriors, are teams that when they turn the ball over a lot, they're doing it to create future shots. And a lot of the teams that don't turn it over, a la this year's Orlando Magic, they do it to the detriment of being able to get good looks. In fact, right now in the league, of the six teams that are the best at taking care of the basketball, only the Milwaukee Bucks are in the first half of the league in shot quality. So to some extent, maybe you're so concerned, and that's because Giannis just drives the basket and doesn't turn over and they don't pass. So maybe to some extent, what I'm proposing here is that the reason you don't turn it over is you don't make the extra passes that lead to better shots. So that's why I've always kind of preached this about turnovers, that there is just not that big a correlation. However, I'm going to switch, and by the way, of the bottom six teams in the league this right now in turnovers, five of the six are in the top half of the league in shot quality, in effective field goal percentage, because they're, at least in my belief, they're making the extra pass to get better shots. So that those turnovers actually are simply, should be thought of as a missed shot. It then brings down your shot quality overall, which I think is fair, and it brings theirs up, which I think is fair. It's how you construct an offense overall, but that's how you should think about a turnover, and then the question is whether they're dead ball or live ball turnovers. Okay, that's my turnover dissertation for the 700 millionth time on the show. I apologize. Here's why I actually think turnovers are a problem for the Utah Jazz this season. We're never going to be a good offensive rebounding team. This is not a good offensive rebounding team. That's like, look at how it's constructed. Bojan Bogdanovic, Jeff Green, Royce O'Neal are not going to be good offensive rebounders. Rudy Gobert, I don't believe, is offensive rebounding at quite the same rate as he did before. So that's worth kind of keeping an eye on, if maybe he can get a little bit better. Tony Bradley actually brings us that, but so should Ed Davis when he's healthy. Ed Davis has always been one of the best offensive rebounders in the league. When Rudy has gone from 13% of misses being offensive rebounds to 7%. So Rudy has, for whatever reason, really stopped getting on the offensive glass. Now, it might be related to the fact that defenses are in between him and all of those things that are taking place. But Rudy's offensive rebounding is way down. So I don't think that there's a scenario where we become a good offensive rebounding team. And if we are in the bottom 20% in two of the four factors, shooting, turnovers, rebounds, and free throw rate, we can't be a good offensive team. I think that's impossible. I'd have to do some research, but I don't think that you can be in the bottom of that realm and be a good offensive team. Or just fundamentally, I don't think you can be in the bottom of two of the categories and be a good offensive team. And I don't know how far I want to push that analysis of, like, is it bottom 20% or what is it? Right now, Atlanta is in the bottom 20% of turnovers and free throw rate, and they're 28th in the league offensively. We're in the bottom 20% of turnovers and offensive rebounds, and we're 25th in the league offensively. So I think there's something there. The Orlando Magic are in the bottom 20% of shooting, offensive rebounding, and free throw. Okay, never mind. Their offense just sucks. The Chicago Bulls are in the bottom 20% of shooting and off. I mean, if you're bottom 20% of shooting and something else, you're certainly going to be terrible offensively. So that's a concern. The one way we can improve that is by fixing our shot quality. And what we've done so far this year is teams have covered Rudy at the rim. So we're not shooting at the rim as much, and teams are hugging to our 3-point shooters because they're good 3-point shooters. And so we're taking mid-range jumpers. And I know it's a cute argument and everyone's talking about it. Okay. We're taking the 11th most mid-range shots in the league. It's too high. It's not who we are. Like, it's just too high. Like, I'm not going to zero in on one player. I mean, it's largely Donovan. Donovan is taking shooting at a rate that only Ben Simmons and DeMar DeRozan take more twos than him right now. I've said this before, Matt, you know, I understand why. Derrick Rose, DeMar DeRozan, and Ben Simmons are the only guards taking a fewer percentage of their shots as threes than Donovan Mitchell. Like, we've swung too far on the use of the mid-range because of the way teams are guarding us, and we're going to have to figure out what the next trick is on how we're going to be able to get those shots again. You know, we're still taking the fifth most corner threes, and so that's great. We are 25th in the league in taking above the break threes, and we are 18th in the league in rim shots. Okay? Now, this is the price of having guys that they're not willing to leave open because everyone's such a good shooter. And so we're going to have to figure out, and I don't have any idea how to do it. Don't misunderstand. Like, this is great that I can sit here and pontificate like this. I don't have the slightest idea. But last year we were 4th in rim shots and 8th in threes. And we were 27th in the league in the amount of mid-range shots and 26th in the league in long twos. Okay, that's who we are. And we got to get back to that. Or else we go back to the four factors. It's too hard for our effective field goal percentage to be as good as it needs to be for us to be able. And right now, our effective field goal percentage is the fifth best in the NBA. So, like, I don't, you know, we're 20. This is the part of kind of where, from an offensive standpoint, I'm trying to pick at edges to find an edge. But right now, we're the 25th ranked offense in the league. And according to Clean the Glass, we're the 11th best effective field goal percentage. It's interesting, they have us on another spot. They have us as the fifth best effective field goal percentage. So I'll have to check with Ben Falk and find out why those numbers are not lining up. And so for us to make, it's a pretty big jump to move up that ladder. The only way we're going to do it, I think, is by fixing our shot distribution. That's my point on that. All right, we'll run around the league. Just kind of a quick little recap as we continue. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, Woods Cross, and the Murdochs, and Chevy for 90-plus years. I'm driving the Blazer. I've gotten more comments from people about, oh, that's the new Blazer. That's pretty solid. It is. It's a nice ride. My son actually drove it for a few days, came back, and really, really liked it. I have found it to be a perfectly sized. It's a two rows, no third row. Great trunk space, perfect size for driving. Really solid ride, nice and quiet. Very kind of intuitive touchscreen and everything else that you need to use up front. Very well made car. The Chevy Blazer is back, and I've been super impressed with the ride. Enjoyed it. Great winter car. That's over at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross. They obviously have the Suburban. They have the Equinox as well for you. They have the Tahoe. So the Suburban and Tahoe are the mother loads, right? And then there's the Equinox along with the Blazer, and then you got the Trax. And if you want a truck, the Silverado is what I call the lazy boy chair of trucks. Like, it is such a comfortable, amazing experience. And then the Colorado is a little bit smaller version that was really fun and really enjoyable. That's all at Murdoch Chevy. Also up in Logan, say hi to Ben when you're there and enjoy your time and find out what the Murdochs mean by a no regrets experience. This is pretty interesting. We're 10 games through the season, or 10 and 9, 10%, a little bit more. If I look at the bottom teams in the NBA in differential, Knicks are terrible, Warriors are terrible, Memphis, Sacramento's a surprise. Okay? Like, Sacramento's 29th in defense, 30th in defending the shot. Didn't really think Sacramento was going to be down here. Charlotte, exactly as anticipated. Atlanta's down a little further than we expected. New Orleans, you know, frankly, I'm not buying that the Zion injury is causing this. I mean, I think we just missed on New Orleans. They're 28th in the league defensively, 25th in the league defending the shot, 29th in the league in defensive rebounding. Something is wrong with the system there. Washington, Chicago are all kind of next on the list. So those are the teams that are all -4 or below. That's getting significant. And I would say, other than New Orleans and Sacramento, they're exactly who we anticipated. What's interesting is, if we looked at the teams that are all +4 differential or better, they're kind of who we anticipated also, except for one or two interlopers and not the order we expected. So Boston is the number one differential team in the league at +10. Gordon just got hurt, which is too bad. He was playing well. We'll see how they come through that, but they're playing great. Phoenix is number two. And Phoenix doesn't really look like they're ready to blink. They're somehow the third best shooting team in the league. They're the eighth best team at getting the free throw line. They're the 11th best defense the shot team, sixth best turnover team, fourth best defensive rebounding team. They're fouling a tremendous amount defensively, which is interesting. It's created an aggressiveness. Toronto is the third best differential team. That's surprising. Number one shooting team in the league. They're, by the way, 28th in the league in offensive rebounding. They have their turnovers to 19th, and they're the number one shooting team, so they become the third best offensive team. It's kind of what we're trying to do. We have to go crazy hot shooting to get there. Then Milwaukee, not a surprise at all. Then the Lakers, not a surprise at all. Then Miami, who actually I would say not a surprise at all. I thought they would be the number one defensive team in the league. They're 17th offensively. I didn't think the differential would be 7. It probably won't be over time. That's exactly where I thought Miami would be. I think I had them 4th in the Eastern Conference. Utah +4.9. Dallas, who's the number one offense in all of the NBA right now, which is I did not expect, is a surprise, and Philadelphia and the Clippers. So those are the teams that have kind of separated themselves at +4 or more. I'd say Phoenix is a really big surprise, and Dallas is a surprise. Great, so there's two more good Western Conference teams. What is also surprising is that Denver's not in that mix. They keep winning. They're 7-2. Their offense, which if you remember when we did points gained, came out very badly for some reason, is only 24th in the NBA. That one's worth watching. Now, it's largely because Jokic is just not right, but we didn't like their shooting and some aspects to who they were and how they use their possessions and some aspects like that, and they're 28th in the league in shooting. They're 5th in the league defensively, to their credit. Portland's at even. San Antonio's below even differential, and then this is the interesting one. Houston is below. Now, they had the 50-point blowout, so they're a little skewed, but they're 6th in the league offensively and 24th in the league defensively, and they're below league average. So that would be the other surprise, you know, 10 games, 10%, kind of whatever way you want to look at it, into the season where they're sitting. But it's interesting, we are beginning to stratify exactly as we anticipated. Warriors tonight, I'm be honest. I watch the Warriors game to get ready for the game. I literally have to hit pause to know who their players are. And I'd love to tell you that they're doing something we really have to keep an eye on. They go to the line a lot. I don't have it for you. Like, this is just a team that is a shadow. So what we have to do is make sure that San Francisco doesn't bite us last night and that we come out and play. I mean, this is a great stretch. We have a 7-game stretch here where I think we will be favored in each and every game. And we will see whether or not we can stay. This is going to be a good mental test on a veteran team. We are men, and we are men, and we need to show that here. We didn't sign kids. We are men, and that men come out like we're not 23 and have waves of different. Well, I guess Donovan is, but we don't have waves of different performance. This team should be an even keeled team. So this will be interesting to see whether or not we can do that. This has been Locked On Jazz. Go tell your smart speaker to play most recent episode of podcast Locked On NBA. You can just tell your phone, actually. It doesn't have to be your smart speaker. Your smart device, when you get in the car, tell it to play podcast Locked On NBA.